At 2 a.m., Ed James pulled into the nearly deserted parking lot of the Marie Callender's on Carter Road and parked near the entrance. Through the windows, he could see Dodgson sitting inside at a booth, his bland features frowning. Dodgson was never in a good mood. Right now, he was talking to the heavyset man alongside him and glancing at his watch. The heavyset man was Basilton, the professor who appeared on television. James picked up the manila envelope and got out of the car, slamming the door. He headed for the entrance, shaking his head. Dodgson had been paying him $500 a day for weeks now to follow a bunch of scientists around. He went inside, blinking in the light, and walked over to the booth. He sat down, nodded to Dodgson and Basilton, and raised his hand to order coffee from the waitress. Dodgson glared at him. "I haven't got all night," he said. "Let's get started." "Right," James said, lowering his hand. He opened the envelope, began pulling out sheets and photos, handing them across the table to Dodgson as he talked. "Alan Grant, a paleontologist at Montana State. At the moment, he's on leave of absence and is now in Paris, lecturing on the latest dinosaur finds. Apparently, he has some new ideas about tyrannosaurs being scavengers and..." "Never mind," Dodgson said. "Go on." "Ellen Sattler Ryman," James said, pushing across a photo. "Botanist, used to be involved with Grant, now married to a physicist at Berkeley and has a young son and daughter. She lectures half-time at the university because..." "Go on, go on." "Well, most of the rest are deceased. Donald Gennaro, lawyer, died of dysentery on a business trip. Dennis Nedry, Integrated Computer Systems, also deceased. John Hammond, who started International Genetic Technologies, died while visiting the company's research facility in Costa Rica. Hammond had his grandchildren with him at the time." "Anybody contact him? Anybody from InGen?" "No, no contact. The boys started college and the girl is in prep school. And InGen filed for Chapter 11 protection after Hammond died. It's been in the courts ever since. The hard assets are finally being sold off." Basilton spoke for the first time. "Is Site B involved in that sale?" James looked blank. "Site B? What is it?"
"If you hear anything about Site B," Basilton said, "we want to know."
Dodgson thumbed through the pictures and data sheets, then tossed them aside impatiently. He looked up at James. "What else have you got?" "That's all, Dr. Dodgson."
"That's all?"
Dodgson said.
"What about Ian Malcolm? What about Richard Levine? Are they still friends?"
James consulted his notes. I'm not sure." Basilton frowned.
"What do you mean, you're not sure?"
"Malcolm met Levine at the Santa Fe Institute," James said. "They spent time together there a couple of years ago, but Malcolm hasn't gone back to Santa Fe recently. He's taken a visiting lectureship at Berkeley in the biology department. He teaches mathematical models of evolution, and he seems to have lost contact with Levine."
"They have a falling out?"
"Maybe. I was told they argued about Levine's expedition."
"What expedition?"
Dodgson said, leaning forward. "Levine's been planning some kind of expedition for a year or so. He's ordered special vehicles from a company called Mobile Field Systems. It's a small operation in Woodside run by a guy named Jack Thorne. Thorne outfits jeeps and trucks for scientists doing field research."
"Malcolm knows about this expedition?"
"He must. He's gone to Thorne's place occasionally, every month or so. And, of course, Levine's been going there almost every day. That's how he got thrown in jail."
"Thrown in jail?"
Basilton said. "Yeah," James said, glancing at his notes. "Let's see, February 10th, Levine was arrested for driving 120 in a 15 zone, right in front of Woodside Junior High. The judge impounded his Ferrari, yanked his license, and gave him community service, basically ordered him to teach a class at the school."
Basilton smiled. "Richard Levine, teaching junior high. I'd love to see that."
"He's been pretty conscientious. Of course, he's spending time in Woodside anyway with Thorne. That is, until he left the country."
"When did he leave the country?"
Dodgson said. 2 days ago, he went to Costa Rica. Short trip. He was due back early this morning."
"And where is he now?"
"I don't know. He was on the passenger manifest of the flight from Costa Rica, but he wasn't on the plane when it landed. My contact in Costa Rica says he checked out of his hotel in San Jose before the flight and never went back. Didn't take any other flight out of the city. So, for the moment, I'm afraid that Richard Levine has disappeared." There was a long silence. Dodgson sat back in the booth, hissing between his teeth. He looked at Basilton, who shook his head.
"Now listen, you stupid son of a bitch," Dodgson said. "There's only one thing I want from you now. It's